Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
It is another Wellness Wednesday, and it's coming so quickly. These Wellness Wednesdays are almost upon us every week, it seems.
Almost weekly.
Almost weekly. And this is Elder Care Radio from Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. And we are trying to provide the community with a lot of information that they can find useful. And we appreciate the calls that we've gotten this week from people who just said, yeah, I've been listening to you on the radio and appreciate the information. And so that makes us feel good that we're actually accomplishing something. We don't always feel that way, but this week we really do. So we really appreciate that, and we thank you.
What's the good news with you, Andy?
Good news with me. Well, I feel good.
Good.
That is good. So that's good. Your microphone seems a little low. Can you maybe bump hers up a little bit, Richard?
Sure.
No.
Yeah, much better. Much
okay,
better.
I'll talk
we
softer.
Can hear you much better.
I'll step away.
Loving life, playing pickleball again after, you know, I had the foot surgery and then I had the COVID. So out of like 18 weeks, I'd missed 16 or 17 of them playing pickleball. So it's good to be back out.
Oh, good.
Well, it is good that you're getting back out, and we hope everybody does. Thanks for, you know, giving us some good advice and leading the way.
And I was inspired by you guys. I actually, the other day, I had a little bit of time on my hands, and I wrote down a profile, my medical profile for myself, because you guys are always talking about it. You got to take your health in your own hands. You've got to be your own advocate. And so I wrote like a page and a half of this is what's going on with my medical history, and I actually have an appointment with the doctor coming up, and I'm going to show it to him and say, here we go. This is what we got,
That's
buddy.
That's right. And take your med list with you and then take every one of those medications like we talked about last week. And we've had so many calls from last week's show. Don't forget to take that med list and look up any deficiencies that might arise from the meds that you're taking.
That's right, nutrition deficiencies. You guys taught us that.
That's right. And then talk to your doctor about, okay, so this one can have this mineral deficiency. What do you suggest? Is it okay with all my other meds that I add iron or whatever it is?
Right.
So, yeah, we're responsible for number one, right? That's it.
But I think your doctor will be excited that you're, you know, ready to get in the game and be a player on the team with him so that you know, they feel like what they're doing, they're getting some help on.
Well, you know, you guys taught me, because I've gone to different doctors, specialists for my leg problem, and I often get, I don't have access to your other stuff, so I don't know what else is going on. And on the one hand, I'm like, are you kidding me? You don't know? And
right.
Then on the other hand, I'm like, well, I guess I better make sure he does know.
That's right.
And so we really appreciate you sharing that story. I know, you know, you don't have to share your personal stories with us, but we appreciate
love it.
That.
Yeah. We do. And it's important. I think sometimes people relate better when they realize that other people, they have other people to identify with. And it's important. You know, you do have to take control of your own medical concerns, and you do have to bring all the issues before the doctor and ask the right questions. And we're not medical professionals, so we don't always know the right questions to ask. But when you start the conversation, you know, doctors are people, and, you know, we all like to share our knowledge and what we know, right, and what we've learned. And so when you start asking those questions, they do get excited about, oh, he's really interested. He wants to know. And they'll give you more information. They'll give you as much information as they believe you want to hear. So ask a lot of questions.
Yeah. So moving on to the This Week in Hospice episode for today, I think we're going to define that with three words: not enough time.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of conversations with a lot of people, and we've had patients come on, and there's just not enough time. And we would like to change that. So we hope that everybody listening kind of takes this to heart and gives some real consideration. If you have a life-limiting condition, or if you have a loved one that has a life-limiting condition, give us a call. It doesn't matter at what stage your condition is in. Let's talk. Let's talk about options. Let's talk about services, what may be available now and what could be available in the future, because it's better to have that plan.
Information is a powerful thing. You know, knowledge is power.
Right. So we really think is important that you, if you have that knowledge, if you have that information, if you have it early, long before you need it, then you can be better prepared to decide when it's time to exercise that instead of waiting until you realize, wow, I really need some help here, and then spend your time trying to find that help. And I want to caution, or I want to comfort everybody and let you know that if you talk to us about hospice, that does not shorten your time at all.
No.
Talking to us does not adversely affect the outcome of where you're at.
Well, and here's something I think that's important to know. You know, if you call us, we're not writing your name down or your email address down and then bugging you every week. This is not the game plan. The game plan is to inform and to help and to bring a better experience to our senior community, give information and assistance to caregivers and their family, you know, children as well as grandchildren. So calling in is no, there's no obligation and no long-term dealings. Yeah. You know, it just means we're going to answer the questions and we're going to let you go. That's it.
And all we want to do is give you choices. Choices don't do you any good if you don't know you have them. And that's really the point. So if you know what your choices are, if you know what services you can have access to, whether you choose to do that or not, that's what matters. If you don't know they're there, then you can't choose. That's what limits you. So it's important to realize that in talking to us, that doesn't change, you know, your time frame or anything. In fact, it's been well proven that integrating good hospice extends life. It extends life significantly. And so if
do
that's
the
an option.
Research yourself. It right. definitely does. It extends. Look up, does palliative care extend life? And you'll find some statistics.
Well, and I was going to say, hospice will extend life. But then on top of that, an excellent palliative care program will mm-hmm. extend it even further. And we're not talking about extending the misery or, you know, the uncomfortable part. We're talking about making everything better.
Oh, that's an important part. Yeah, so you wouldn't want to extend somebody's stay if they were suffering and just absolutely miserable. But what if we could focus on the things that we could enjoy and actually create lifelong memories for those who will remain after a patient, you know, is gone? Those are really, really important times in all of our lives. If we can capture memories and focus on those things that are good, our stresses are reduced and our life experience is improved.
And so here's another thing we'd like to dispel as far as myths, and that is that if you talk to us, especially if you're talking to us early, that does not mean that you are giving up. It doesn't mean that you are giving in and planning on passing away. We will support everything you want to do to accomplish anything you want to accomplish. And it's all about taking control and doing the things that are most effective to make your life worth living. And that's what we really want to do.
We chose this topic today because while we've had many similar circumstances over the year, this week it just seemed like we had several people call and actually be a little disappointed, a little frustrated that they didn't know their condition sooner. And while some of you may not really want to know, most people do want to know where the progress of their condition is so that they can make plans. But also, as loved ones, you know, our loved ones, we love them so much, and we're giving so much of our time and attention to their care and well-being. We want to do everything right. So it's important to have the information and a support group that we can contact to say, hey, this is happening. What do I do about this? So that we don't feel regretful or like we missed an opportunity or didn't give the very best care available.
Okay. Another myth that I hope we can dispel is that talking to us is not cheating on your doctor. You are not stepping out behind their back and because we're going to support you with your doctor and we're going to have your doctor completely involved in anything that you decide to choose. So it's really just finding additional resources that can help you in your circumstances. And your doctor should be, you know, happy for you to get those extra cares. Because if we can provide care in the home, let's say having a nurse come every 2 weeks or every week to help adapt and adjust under changing conditions instead of waiting 3 months or 6 months to set a doctor's appointment. We can gather the information. We can engage with your doctor, and he'll be fully informed of the issues that are there so that we can work together to adjust a plan that will be more effective for you much quicker. You know, if you're taking a new drug, usually there's a time frame where the doctor has to have you take that drug and then figure out if that's enough or too much. But if we're doing that on a every 3 month basis, where you're just going back after 3 months, there's a long time of adjustment in there that is wasted. If we are checking those numbers every week or every 2 weeks, and we can make those adjustments sooner, then we're going to get to a more effective level of care. And that's just on drugs, but for everything. If we're talking about therapies, or if we're talking about additional services, adapting on a weekly or every other week basis allows us to be much more in tune with your circumstances the way they are. So we really think it's important and exciting when people like you, Andy, take control of their own destiny, their medical histories and records, and start looking at how they can participate to make it more appropriate for them. Because your doctor can only guess at what is most important for you if you're not willing to share the things that you think are most important.
And you may have thought of those things the night before, but if you didn't write them down, you're going to sit on that cold examination chair, and they're going to go out the window. You won't even remember.
That's right. And the doctor is going to be as pleasant as he can for the amount of time that he can give you. Mm-hmm. But if you don't use that time effectively, then your opportunity's passed for another 3 or 6 months. So we think that's important. And the reality is that not only can we work with your doctor, but the support that we provide enhances your care. And as we age, certainly hospital visits become more common. You know, there are just things that change. People have issues that, you know, we're not sure how to deal with. And so the default is I don't have time to call and set an appointment for my doctor and see him in 3 months, so I'm going to run to the hospital. And when you go to the hospital, and this we see this a lot, and the hospital spends all their time and resources and then has that conversation with you, okay, well, we're just going to send you home because there's nothing that we can do. And that happens, you know, as we're older, significantly more often. You know, we have a condition that isn't going to change. And it doesn't matter what that condition is. If it's kidney failure, if it's brittle bones, there are just things that can't be fixed. A hospital can't do anything to fix them. They're just things that we have to deal with. So we'd really like people, hopefully today, to give some real thought to what their condition is. And we're going to use the term life-limiting. If it's a life-limiting condition, and I'll go through a list of those. If you have cancer, if you have chronic renal failure, kidney disease, ALS, chronic neurological problems, if you have heart disease, Parkinson's, stroke, liver disease, if any of these sound familiar at all, pulmonary problems, COPD, HIV, give us a call today. It doesn't matter whether you just barely started dialysis for kidney failure. If that's the path you're on, realize that you are going to be on that path for the rest of your life, however long that is.
If you're struggling with COVID.
Yeah, that's right. COVID has really brought some people down. And so if you are in the throes of that and having a hard time, we would like to have that conversation with you early, where it's not a decision you have to make right away. It's just an informative, exploratory conversation so that you can not... I guess we can shed some light on the future and give you some options that are available. So we would really like to do that. That's what we hope. If you or a loved one have what we are going to call a life-limiting condition at any stage, we would love to have a conversation with you about options that are available to make your life better.
Right. Medicare's palliative provision is 100% covered through your benefits package based on eligibility. It is completely free to you because you've been paying into that benefit, that in Medicare insurance, since you started working. Why would Medicare do this? Why would Medicare provide so many benefits for free. Does it sound too good to be true? Well, the reason they do it is because as we age and conditions come up or concerns appear, we generally tend to run to the emergency room or the quick care because we don't know how to deal with it, and we want what's best for our spouse. Or we recognize that if we don't stay on top of something, that it could be dire circumstances. So we run to the hospital. A four-hour visit at the hospital with tests can
be... Or six or eight or 24.
Right. It can be a good $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 for Medicare. So Medicare realized quite some time ago that it was actually better if they paid us, because believe me, they don't pay us anything close to that. But if we were sending CNAs and nurses into your home and bringing the hospital into your home, where we, the nurses and clinicians, are gathering information and literally discussing it one-on-one with a doctor at a minimum of every 14 days and immediately when necessary, they know that it will keep the seniors out of the hospital, because we'll find things long before you would have noticed them, because by the time you're showing real dire
conditions,
you know, you're having symptoms, it's late in the stage. So they send us in once you're eligible to find those conditions well in advance. It saves them millions of dollars a year. So it's a program that you've paid into. It's a two-way benefit. Medicare benefits because you're getting all these services and they're finding the conditions. We are finding the conditions in advance, and you're benefiting because you're getting so much help in your home. It's taking away your stresses and making yours and your caregiver's life so much more fulfilling. So just realize that, you know, the palliative program can add a host of services to enhance the care for you. We literally do bring the hospital and all the services into your home so that you can have a higher quality, better life.
So we would hope that we can get everybody to have a different view of hospice. You should be looking at it as a well-earned privilege. It is a Medicare benefit, truly beneficial benefit that Medicare can provide. It's an insurance that you've paid for from the start of your working career.
And we should probably point out, very few people, 23% of the people actually use this benefit that you've paid into your entire working life.
Right. And so if it's available to you, we encourage you to take advantage of it and have it improve your life. That's really what we hope we can do, is improve people's lives for as long as we can. And the more people we do that for, would be good. So we know that many people have had some previous experiences with hospice, and maybe that experience was that hospice came in and they just provided a drug regimen, and you don't think that that's
which has created some fears and concerns, and we can promise you that the palliative program is all about you, and you are an integral part of the plan of care for you. You make all the decisions. We provide everything that you'll need, and you decide what you want and what you don't want to take advantage of. So you never give up control. You never start medications until you're ready. And believe me, more often than not, at some point, the medications are absolutely appropriate. But nobody's going to come in and say, this is the plan, and take control from you. We are guests in your home.
And I think it's important, you know, for us, most of the time when meds are prescribed for, you know, the potential problems. And again, the potential problems, you may not have these yet, but we want to be prepared in case they become an issue. We always prescribe those on a PRN basis, which is Latin, because, you know, Latin is a great language to communicate in, and pro re nata, which means as needed. And that's really an important thing. It's not that there should be a drug regimen where every 4 hours or every 6 hours or every 8 hours. Mm-hmm. It's, well, if you have the symptom, then this can be a solution until that symptom is gone. Let's say that you have a pain every morning when you get up because, you know, that's what it is. But once you get up and are walking around, it doesn't exist anymore. Then we can address the pain in the morning with a drug that will solve that. And then the rest of the day, you don't need that drug. There's no reason to keep putting those in our body. So we would encourage you to, again, as your own best medical advocate, be able to manage those circumstances and those situations and those symptoms. And if drugs are the appropriate solution, then we can provide those. But it is not a drug regimen that is going to cause a lot of problems. It's intended to be a drug option that will solve some problems.
You know, I always have to say that the nurses that choose to be in the hospice industry will always be lovely. I mean, they do the very best that they can. So it's really more of a question of what is the company providing for them that they can pass on to you. And that's what we're really trying to change. The nurses, wonderful, fabulous.
And we know some of those nurses from other hospice companies.
Oh,
and
a lot of them. Yeah.
And we think they should be working for us. But that doesn't mean that they're not as good of nurse. It's just that they have some limitations. And so, you know, we're happy that, you know, there are people out there providing that care. And so we're trying to encourage them
to get their business to make changes so that everybody enjoying the hospice benefit also gets the palliative portion.
One of the other concerns in this community, and reasonably so because of the history, is that a lot of people feel that when hospice comes in, then there's just a very short period of time before they pass away. And that can be because of a drug regimen or other things. And we want you to know that that's what we're trying to avoid. We're trying to overcome that. If hospice comes in early and we can extend life, then that's better. If we can accomplish great things for people in the last part of their life that they wouldn't have had otherwise, creating memories not only for them but for their families, then those are the things that we really enjoy doing. Once we get the clinical part of this taken care of, and once we you know, resolve some of those issues, and people can get just a little bit of relief. In fact, you know, we've had calls recently on that. We had a lady call and say, you know, I just couldn't imagine how I was going to deal with this. And I was spending all of my time dealing with the disease. And we all have to understand that we can't be defined by our disease. That's not what we're really after. We're not. The disease is just a small problem, and if all we do is focus on that, then we lose sight of everything else. But because hospice came in, she could choose to not focus on the disease and focus on her husband, the rest of, right. of him, the more important
she
part.
She had resources, so she was able to just spend extra time loving her husband. And wasn't it wonderful that the palliative portion is a lot like the fun part for this job? We get to be kind of cruise directors and help you pick which amenities you want to take advantage of. And it can really be a wonderful, wonderful program. It is not something to be afraid of, and you should take advantage of it as soon as you are possibly eligible, because it will make your life easier and more pleasant. You will have that opportunity to focus all that's good in your life and create some lasting memories.
Right. The quote, "I wish I had worried more and spent more time on things I can't change and done less to build meaningful memories and do great things," said no one ever.
Right. Said no one ever.
Yeah, those aren't the things. And this is the perfect time to really consider what are the important parts of our life that we really want to create a history for. So those are, we hope that we've gotten that across. We would love to get your phone calls in any level of condition that you feel you're at. If you know somebody that is struggling with a life-limiting condition, or, and this is the other part, if you know somebody that you've noticed is having a little harder time in anything in their daily life.
Yeah, I think that's important, because I'm always surprised at how many people really don't know what their medical condition is. So we get calls all the time of people saying, yeah, you know, he's struggling, he can't get out of bed, he's having a harder time doing things, but he has no conditions. He's not going to be eligible. And if you are struggling to take care of your activities of daily living, that is an eligibility, even if everything else inside of your body has not been diagnosed, you know, with a life-limiting condition.
And we were just talking to somebody this morning that, you know, they had somebody pass away recently that they knew, not real well, but they had, you know, they knew that he had, you know, had some sores on his arms and had gone through some physical changes, but they didn't equate that to life-limiting. And then it passed very suddenly, and that was kind of surprising. So we're coming to the end of this. We want everybody to know that, and this is, I guess, what we're hoping today, is for everybody who is a veteran or married to a veteran, go ahead and check your DD-214, get that information. Try and find out what resources are available through the VA. If you need help with that, give us a call. But you can call the VA and see if you can get some information, because it's surprising what resources may be available. 435-477-6999.